We hope that this message will help guide you toward positive, Christ-centered change. By reviewing this podcast, you could be part of spreading the good news. Please also consider giving a donation to our ministry at cometoabc.com/giving. As always, these messages are available to copy and share on social networks.
Lord, I thank you that we can worship together, that we can see the kids up front, that we can laugh together, and we can honor each other. I thank you for all that's already happened in the service, and I ask that your word would now go forth, that it would accomplish what it's designed to accomplish. We know that your words are living, and you are the word made flesh, Jesus. And so we thank you for that today, and we ask you that through this message and through our time together, we would become more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, if you were here, good. If you weren't here, still good that you're here this week. We kind of ended the message with this question. Why aren't Christians perfect yet? I know you're all perfect, but some other Christians aren't, right? So, well, we know that none of us are really perfect, but we read through so much scripture and it said, hey, here's the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to go through that verse again in a little bit. But if this is really what the fruit of the Spirit is, then we should start to see some of this fruit bear in our life, and we should start to see it develop. But then when we look at ourselves, a lot of times we say, man, I got angry there. I was impatient. And we know patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Man, I didn't love the way I was supposed to love in that circumstance. And I can look at my own life and see areas, even in this last week, where I didn't do the best. I did not do very well. So the question is, why aren't we all perfect yet if we have the Holy Spirit residing within us? And to illustrate this, I kind of have something prepared for you that hopefully you'll be able to see from where you are. This is an apple tree starter kit that I created this morning, okay? They're for sale for $599. You can buy this one. Okay, so what I have here is a children's pail that I stole from my kids. And some dirt. Sorry, Chris. Oh, he's not in here. Good. He's got to clean this later. Don't tell him I did this. Some dirt I'm going to put in here. And how many of you like apples? A few of you? Okay. Good news. We're all going to have apples in just a few moments. I've got an apple seed. And I'm going to put the apple seed not too far down, but a little. Okay. And then I've got some spring water, because we all know that helps apple trees grow faster. We're going to water that and stand back. It's a beautiful tree. Just any second now, because this is going to be a long sermon. Any second now, we're all going to have apples, right? Wrong. Pastor Ben knows nothing about growing things. Okay, so why won't we? I planted the seed. I put it in the ground, watered it. There's some light on it. I don't think that counts as sunlight, but it should be able to grow. It's pretty warm up here. Why aren't we going to have an apple tree right now? I didn't germinate the seed. Yeah, it's probably not going to work even if I had the right circumstances. Why else? I didn't talk to it? Please grow. Not working. Okay. We know that even if the conditions were perfect, right? And we had a germinated seed, we had like the right apple seed, and we had picked it all out. It's going to take quite a bit of time, isn't it? It's going to take a long time. Even after the tree sprouts, it's not going to sprout, be able to sprout now. I'm going to transplant it, put it somewhere else. Even after it sprouts, it's going to take a long time before it can develop fruit. And fruit doesn't come unless the tree has matured. So maturity is an issue, and what we're dealing with are seeds a lot of the times. And I love the way that Paul took this in 1 Corinthians when he was writing to them. He had this argument that was going on in the church, and he said it this way. There's some people saying, well, you know, I'm a follower of Paul. I'm a disciple of him. Others were like, no, I follow Apollos. And they're like, we're better than you. No, we're better than you. This church is better. This church. And he goes, let's cut that out. And let's get to the root of it. The the planted seed in your hearts. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was who? God who made it grow. And it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. And he's talking about evangelism there, but we can move this everywhere into our spiritual life, into our physical life. So if you're new on a job, can you expect to know how to do everything perfectly? Have you ever had a supervisor that expected you to know, hey, I'm glad that you're here. We really needed this position filled. Now you go over to that table and you build that thing and I'm going to be over here. Do you ever have a job like that where they're just like, go for it? And you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. You have to be trained. You have to have time. And you have to have experience in order to develop a skill or a habit or a discipline. You have to have experience and time that's spent. A lot of the times, here's what we do. We expect, even I do, I expect my two-year-old to act like a fully developed 35-year-old man. I want my kids to be better than me right now. And they should be. They have the best parents in the world. Well, that's what we do, right? Our expectations for others are usually elevated above our own expectations for ourselves. There are a lot of 35-year-old men I don't want my kids acting like. And there are a lot of people that get older without maturing. And the same thing can happen in Christianity. We can get older in the faith without developing any fruit. We can be what Jesus calls in the Gospels, in Matthew, a bad tree, a bad fruit. We're not bearing what God wants us to. Some of you are still watching this pot over here to see if an apple tree is going to pop up, right? If we're here that long, oh. Okay, Galatians 6:9 puts it this way. Last week, Tanya's daughter is going, she signed into the armed forces. She's in the army in boot camp right now, so pray for her as she's there. And she came up to me after the service and said, hey, you know, what's a verse that I should be meditating on, I could write down, that's going to help me through boot camp? And I gave her this verse. It says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will what? Reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So sometimes when we're going through messages like this, we're like, yeah, the fruit of the Spirit, and yeah, I've got God, and I have salvation and everything. But when I look at my life, it reminds me of this, like there's just nothing there yet. Realize that God's the one that's in charge of the growth. The Holy Spirit's the one that's in charge of the growth. We're supposed to be in the right circumstances. So when we come to church, when we're in the Word, we're getting sunlight, we're getting the nutrients that we need and everything else. And God starts to grow that through His Spirit in us. And so if we do not give up, if we don't get tired, we will reap the harvest that we desire. That almost rhymed, didn't it? I'm going to turn into one of those preachers. All right. So at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we what? Boy, you guys are on fire today. If we don't what? Don't give up. Don't give up. And when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about virtue and character. And we don't talk a lot about that today. I think that should be a class in school. Virtue and character. Virtue and character. Why is this so important? Well, let's look at the definition so that we're on the same page here. Virtue is behavior showing high moral standards. And we know that character is an interesting or an amusing individual. Some of you are with me. No, we're not going with that definition. Character is not an interesting or amusing individual here. We're talking about character, a person's good reputation, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So what we want to do is develop virtue and character in God's way, which is by selecting the fruit of the Spirit, by realizing that we're supposed to inhabit all of these things. So salvation doesn't make us perfect. It makes us just forgiven. And we are righteous because of Jesus' sacrifice. We don't earn salvation. We don't earn God's love. We don't earn any of that. But like the seed that's planted, our job is to die to the flesh and be reborn and regrown into mature spiritual beings. In Galatians 5:22 through 23, this is the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We'll read it from the beginning. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These are things that everybody wants. So we're going to talk about the first one today. And the first one is what? Love. Love. It's probably the biggest one. Because if you have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I don't see how you can have those with other people unless you have the first one that's listed there, which is love. And I was thinking about this, kind of meditating on it all week as I was being impatient and not showing kindness and not being completely good and all these things that just happened throughout the week. I was still thinking about this, about how love is really kind of the umbrella that all of these fall under. And I was thinking about it in terms of fruit. And I don't know if you've ever had sour fruit or fruit that isn't good, or it doesn't have any flavor to it. It looks good, but you bite into it and you're like, eh. What is it that makes fruit taste so good? It's fructose, right? It's the sugar that's found in the fruit that makes it sweet and makes it desirable and makes it nutritious even in some ways. That is a very good thing. Well, that's kind of what love is to everything else. It's like the fructose in the fruit. It's the flavor that is in there, and it makes all these other things possible. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." Well, that's good. I love that. And what's the next verse there? It says we're also to love others. See, sometimes we want to stop at verse 37, not go to 38. But 38 says that we're to love others as ourselves. So love is something that Jesus himself talked about. He said this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the bands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So practically, if you boil it down, if you really want to accomplish the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing you need to make sure is that there is some love that is active in your heart and in your life. Love is somewhere. And a lot of times we use the word love like, oh, I love you, brother, or I love you, sister, or whatever. But I want you to realize that love is just not saying love. Love is what? Action. Love is action. Let's say that together. Love is action. I think that's so deeply important. That's something I really want to enforce and tell my kids. Aiden's sitting right there. Aiden, love is action. You can say that you love people. You can say that you care about people. But if there is no action to back it up, it's just useless words, right? It's not really there. When we often think of, when we think of love, we think of romantic love. But romantic love can't even last without action. I have this story I'd like to read to you because I think it's brilliant. A newspaper columnist and minister, George Crane, tells of a wife who came into his office full of hatred towards her husband. "I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me." So Dr. Crane suggested an ingenious plan. Go home and act as if you really love your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be kind, considerate, and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him and to enjoy. Make him believe you love him. And after you convince him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb. Tell him that you're getting a divorce. That will really hurt him. With revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, "Beautiful, beautiful." Will he ever be surprised? And she did it with enthusiasm, acting as if for 2 months she showed love, kindness, listening, giving, reinforcing, sharing. And when she didn't return, Crane called, "Are you ready now to go through with the divorce?" "Divorce," she exclaimed, "never. I discovered I really do love him." See, her actions had changed her feelings. The emotion resulted in emotion. So love is action. I've been through premarital counseling sessions with a lot of different people before. And years ago, when I was still in Chicago, I sat down with this couple. And I started asking them, you know, simple questions like, "Why do you want to get married?" She gave me a great answer. He said, "I don't know." I was like, "You don't know? Why are you here wasting my time?" "Well, she wants to get married," and I'm like, "Whatever." So I started talking to him. I said, "You sure you want to get married? I don't think this is a good idea." "Oh, yeah, I just think it's, you know, might as well do it. I messed up because I should have said right there. I told her, I said, I don't know if you should marry. He's sitting right there. I don't know if you should marry him. I don't think you should marry this guy. He isn't giving you a straight answer. And I want you to know that love is not like fairy tales and Disney movies, right? It's not happily ever after. There's work afterwards. It takes work to stay in love. It's a choice and it's hard work. Even if both are working at it, it's not easy. And so she said, oh, yeah, okay. And I said, I want you to think about it. And he came back and still kind of like, yeah, whatever, I want to get married. I shouldn't have done the wedding. I did the wedding, less than a year later, divorced. Why? Well, he wasn't doing anything to show his love. He had no action to his love. Oh, yeah, I love you, but I want to go play video games. Yeah, I love you, but I'm not going to watch the kid. Yeah, I love you, but I want to do my thing, and you just go away. See, that's not love, is it? Love is action. It has to be there. There has to be kind of that show me moment. You know, that's really what romance is, if you think about it. It's people doing gestures that require sacrifice, and it's love in action that's proving that they love. It's not just saying, I love you. It's proving it. You have to show the proof. Love is action. 1 John 3:17 says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our what? Actions. If somebody tells you they love you, but the rest of their life is lying about that, which one is true? If someone says, oh, I love you, but everything they do is against you, and everything they say and how they live their life shows no proof of it, that means there is no love. Love is action. Love is the primary and central, and it's essential to growing more like Jesus. Love is also the proof of spiritual life. 1 John 3:14, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life, but a person who has no love is still what? Dead. You know, you do the mirror test, put it under there. The breathing. This is the mirror test, all right? Is are you breathing? If you're spiritually breathing, then you'll what? Love your brothers and sisters who are believers. That is proof. If you find people that are constantly attacking and tearing down and critiquing and going through all of this, and their focus is on how there's no good church that's good enough, and there's no Christian that's good enough, and no one knows the Bible like I do, and all this stuff, I'll tell you to a fact that what they have in their life is not faith, they have religion. And it's not love of God they have, it's envy against other people. So a person who has no love is still dead spiritually. Love is the proof of spiritual life. Are you breathing? Love, are you breathing? Love is also the action of faith. James, the brother of Jesus, he says this. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds, and it is dead and useless. So what we're talking about here and what James is talking about is actually love in action. Love in action. Faith is supposed to move us to do something. So we're not proving that we love God through this. It's just a natural result. Kind of like if an apple tree was healthy and well and big, it would naturally bear fruit in its season because it's healthy and well. And this is how we're to be. Love is the action of faith, and James is so clear on this. I think if he were here today, he would also make sure that he uses Christianese, and Christianese is terms Christians use. Well, this is the one that sometimes someone will say a need, and we have the ability to meet that need, to fix the situation, or to help out in some way, and here's how we respond. Oh, man, I'm so sorry that's happening in your life right now. I'll pray for you. That's the same thing as saying, hey, you know, be good, have a good day. If we aren't able to do what the scripture says, we're doing exactly what James says here not to do. We're not following through with action. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pray and that prayer is a bad thing. No, it's a very good thing. But if God has given us the tools to help out, we need to help out. Amen? We're supposed to be people of action, not people of just words. So love is the action of faith. And I want to tell you, you guys have shown love to my family. And in the last, it's been 8 or 9 weeks now since Easter. And the amount of help I've had, and Kim was going to tell me that I have to pick up my laundry. It's in her car right now. That's actually the boys' laundry. But she washed and folded laundry for my kids. And that is not an easy thing. I've tried to do that before. And that's probably why they have Kim doing it now. But, you know, you've brought meals to me. You've ministered. You guys are asking how Emily's doing. You're texting her. You're stopping by the house. That is love in action. Because you could just say, well, I hope you do well. Thanks. That doesn't produce anything, right? And we all know that real love takes hard work. And it isn't always easy. That talk is cheap, but love is expensive. I want you to know that. Love is very expensive. C.S. Lewis said it this way. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything in your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. In that casket, safe, dark, motionless, and airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be safely, perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. See, some of us have been hurt in the past because we have loved and our heart's been damaged. And the natural thing to do when that happens is to pull back and protect and cover. But by doing that, we're actually removing ourselves from what would heal us, which is love. And the love of God is supposed to be going through the church and coming out of all the people in the church in such a way that it draws people in that are needing that. They're needing that encouragement. They're needing that connection. They're needing that love from other people and from the community. How many of you know somebody who needs love? You know that person that was wailing on their horn yesterday at Walmart, or the one that maybe is really angry with Cody because Cody was in front of them today? The person that at the checkout line was really rude with the cashier. Those people, a lot of times, they're just defensive and offensive because they're lacking love. They're lacking love. And the church is supposed to be different. We're supposed to be love in action. But not only are we supposed to be, you know, love is action, but we're all supposed to realize that love is sacrificial action. Love is sacrificial action. It costs something. Love is the action of Jesus in us. 1 John 4:7-12. Dear friends, we can call each other that, right? We're good? All right. Not, I'm sorry for whatever I did. All right, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God, and anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's interesting that God says that so clearly, that, hey, God is love. This is who he is, who he claims to be. And then verse 9 goes on to say this: God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God has loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. You are the expression of love from God to others. That's what we're called to do. So Jesus teaches us the importance of love through his life and through his actions. So if Jesus is willing to die on the cross for us and to sacrifice himself, then we know that love is the action of Jesus in us, and he is calling us to sacrificial love. So the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are all good and well, but they don't work without love in action. They don't work without that happening in our hearts and in our lives, that we live love as sacrificial action. How many of you know John 3:16? A few of you. All right. Yeah, we probably know the verse, right? What does John 3:16 tell us? For God so loved this world. Yeah. That he gave his one and only son. Yeah. That's right. Amen. That's the love that he showed us. How many of you are excited about that love? Woo! How many of you are excited to do the same thing Jesus did? Huh. Right? Okay. So this is so easy to say and so hard to live. It is so easy to say and so hard to live. And I think that's the whole point of this, because we can say the right thing and then go off and do the wrong thing, or just not do it to begin with, because we forget that this is what we're called to. So yeah, well, I have grace and it's free. But it wasn't free, was it? It had to be purchased by Jesus. And while it's free for me, it eventually cost me something, because if I'm called into this, then I'm called to do the same thing that God has done for me in some small way, not as big as he did, but in some small way, I'm called to sacrifice. I'm called to love others with sacrificial action. So that means that it's not about me, and that continually I have to put death to self in order to let the fruit of God develop in me and bring me into maturity, so that I can have patience, peace, love, kindness, and goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And more importantly, I can have love that kind of enables all of that to occur. It's hard. It's hard. But love is sacrificial action, and we're called to this. So instead of just saying things, we need to be people that are doers of the Word of God. Amen? And I think we heard that earlier today. Someone said it, that we're to be doers of the Word of God. The development of the inner nature of a Christ-like character must be behind any use of spiritual gift, or any use to the world that we are going to bring has to really come from love. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. That comes from God. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote this: "Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you'll presently come to love them. And if you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him more. If you do him a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less." So some people, a lot of times, one of the big things that comes to me is like, man, I'm having such a hard time and a difficult time forgiving somebody for doing this. And sometimes it's somebody who's already died. And I say to that, you know, pray and ask God to remove that from you, and say it out loud. You know, I forgive you for this, even though they're not there. But the other thing is, sometimes we imagine enemies, or we have real enemies in our life. And what C.S. Lewis is saying here, and we find in Scripture that we're even called to do, is that if we step out and do something nice for them, we find that we actually start to like them in some way. If we're able to step back and see the difficulty they've had in your life, we're able to see that they need sacrificial love and action as well, just like we did. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus came for us while we were yet sinners. We didn't deserve any of this. And he came while we were enemies of God, and he died on the cross so that we could know him. Sacrificial love does cost something. It's difficult. It's hard, but it's what God is calling us to. There's a story, and I'm going to kind of summarize it here. An author was writing about being a dad, and this book is called The Family Coach. And in the book, he talks about how, and this is some years ago, we couldn't do this with kids today, but he went to the mall, and he pulled up to the mall, and there was a giant trailer there, and it said petting zoo, and there were all sorts of animals out there that were in crates, and the kids saw that. He had his two kids with him, and he was going to go into Sears to get some hardware. And the kids wanted to go to that, so he hands them each, and you can imagine how old this is now, he hands them each a quarter to get in, because he thought that would be enough. And he eventually looks down, and his daughter has come into Sears and found him, and he's like, well, why aren't you with your brother? And where's your brother? Well, he's in the petting zoo area. He's okay, but I realized that the zoo cost 50 cents, and so I gave my quarter to my brother. And he goes, well, why did you do that? And she repeated the family motto, and the family motto was, love is action. And so he took his daughter out, and they went over next to the petting zoo, and they watched. He watched his boy, she watched her brother continue to play with the animals for a little bit until it was time to go. And the dad had a quarter burning a hole in his pocket, but the whole time he knew he wanted this lesson to stick, that love is sacrificial action. Not only is it action, it's sacrificial action. That girl had learned that lesson, that sometimes love hurts. There's a whole song about that. Or I'm not going to sing it. But it always costs something, doesn't it? Love always costs something. So love that is, the type of love we're talking about is not just the easy saying it. The love, we're talking about love that is outgoing, that is giving of yourself, that is kind, that is generous, that goes everywhere with you. It's a development of character and virtue that I want all of us to have, and I hope my kids carry it. I hope I continue to develop in that. It's the development of the inner nature of a Christ-like character that must be behind everything that we do. Thomas A. Kempis said it this way, whoever loves much, does much. Whoever loves much, does much. Love is action, and love is sacrificial action. This week has been a difficult week for our community. It's been difficult for Noblesville and for especially the middle school, the high school, and all of the teachers. And as a parent, it's scary, isn't it? The world we live in. But I am thankful that sacrificial action and love still exists. Amen? And we are celebrating Memorial Weekend. It's not just race weekend, but it's Memorial Weekend. And there is a lot of freedoms that we have because people sacrifice their life on our behalf. And I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for this man right here. You can pop that picture up. Let's see. Jason Seaman. Whew! This is why we pray for our schools, amen? This is why we pray for our teachers and our students, and this is why we try to reach out into those area schools, and we work so much with even Hamilton Heights and everything. But I am so grateful that that teacher was there, that he was a big football player, and that he tackled that assailant, and he stopped that. Who knows how many lives he saved, but you know what? That was love in action, amen? That was sacrificial love. And the text was read to me this morning that he walked back into his classroom yesterday, which is incredible because he took three bullets. But this man stopped what it could have been so much worse. And our prayers are with that young girl who's still healing up in the hospital. And we pray that God would heal her quickly. But we do realize that at times, love requires the ultimate sacrifice, and that may be our very life. And I would hope that all of us would be willing to put an end to something like this if we were given that chance. But really, it starts in here. And I don't know him at all, but I've heard good things, and obviously, he stepped up in a moment of crisis. And I have to believe that God was in some way involved that happened in his classroom. And that he was able to stop that, and that his life was preserved as well. But he had no assurance of that. Love is sacrificial action. Think about that this weekend as you're eating your brats, your dogs, your burgers tomorrow or today. That it isn't just about that. It's about people who laid it all on the line and many who lost their life in order to show love to their nation and love to their families and to protect them. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you showed the greatest love of all by giving your Son, Jesus Christ, as the ultimate sacrifice for us. I ask that we would allow your Spirit to grow within us and develop, that we would try to persevere through the difficult times, that we would love the unlovable, that we would act when you call us to act. Lord, I thank you for preserving all the students in that classroom and in that school, and I thank you for allowing that teacher to be the one that was in there and that he stepped forward and showed what sacrificial love is. Lord, help us in small ways today to show that love is action. It's not just words. We can say the words. It's important to say the words, but we have to back it up with our actions. God, I pray that you would grow that within us, that we would realize that we're called to that. Through your power, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We hope that this message will help guide you toward positive, Christ-centered change. By reviewing this podcast, you could be part of spreading the good news. Please also consider giving a donation to our ministry at cometoabc.com/giving. As always, these messages are available to copy and share on social networks. Until next time, continue to grow in Jesus.